This is Voices from the Fields, a story of migrant workers in Michigan. I'm Emily Fox. We just got a feel for the working and living conditions of migrant workers, from getting paid below minimum wage to having to live in a dilapidated house. For some, this is the only job these workers can get, and things can get especially dicey when the majority of these workers don't have authorization to live here, let alone work here. An estimated 50 to 70% of farm workers in the U.S. are undocumented. And this causes problems not only for the workers, but for employers, too.
Buenas.
I'm on the road with outreach interns from Farm Worker Legal Services out of Kalamazoo. They're checking up on the workers in the migrant camps after a day in the fields. We're visiting four camps in southwest Michigan. The majority of these workers either speak Spanish only or that's their primary language. And a lot of them aren't afraid to admit they're undocumented. When we visited the first camp of the evening, one migrant worker gladly invited us into his tiny concrete hut.
Oh, buenas.
¿Cómo están?
¿Todo bien? ¿Qué tal?
He's from the south of Mexico.
No entramos así con visa de trabajo, entramos ilegal.
He says he and the other workers from the camp came to the U.S. illegally.
No, pues sigue lo mismo.
After some questioning by the outreach workers, he says he doesn't have legal status in the U.S. And he says that's the case for the other workers as well.
Buenas tardes.
At the second camp on the trip, one of the outreach workers from Farm Worker Legal Services asks a migrant worker if he thinks the majority of the people at this camp have their papers.
¿Trabajadores tienen sus papeles?
The worker says very few people have their papers.
No, pues muy poquitos porque tienen papeles.
At the next trailer over, another worker from Mexico says he doesn't have a work visa.
Yo no tengo visa.
One of the biggest fears these workers have is the threat of deportation. While I visited these migrant camps in southwest Michigan this summer, Alejandro Collazo was working at a dairy farm in the Thumb of Michigan. He was the only one with legal status among the dozen people who milked cows there. He says his crew was getting shorted hours on their paychecks and weren't getting paid on time. He says his crew leader told him the farm also had a crew of American workers that worked in another location. The Americans were paid more than Collazo's Hispanic crew and didn't have to milk as many cows. Collazo says the undocumented workers were afraid to complain to the owner because he's threatened to deport workers before.
If the workers say anything or complain, the owner says he'll call immigration or the police because they don't have papers.
The owner of the farm could not be reached for comment. But this undocumented status comes with other problems, too. Pedro Alvarez is a U.S. citizen and migrant farm worker from Texas. He's worked in Michigan for a few summers and has worked with crews of mostly Mexicans. He says many of the workers from Mexico come from places with few jobs and opportunities, so it's easier for an employer to take advantage of them.
So these people don't know how to read, they don't know how to write, they don't know that there's a law, after so many hours you get a break. They don't know anything about that. They're just out here from Mexico, but most of these people come from where there's nothing. There's no work, there's no food, there's nothing to live off of. So they basically come out here and they have a job and they feel like they're in heaven, even if they're treated like slaves.
But Craig Anderson with the Michigan Farm Bureau says he doesn't think employers treat workers differently based on their legal status.
I take a look at payroll records of many employers across the state, and I don't find any of the indicators that would suggest that the one is being paid more or less than another group of people.
But the issue of legal status isn't just a problem for undocumented workers. It's also a big concern for employers. Sometimes it's hard for an employer to even know if their worker's documentation is real or fake. Anderson says an employer can't turn someone down because their documents look sketchy.
From an employer's perspective, if you come to me for a job and you show me a document that reasonably appears to be valid, I must take it. But I can't, as the employer, look at a document, even though I have some suspicions that it might not be accurate. I can't just simply say, nope, I think you're illegal. That's discrimination.
It used to be that, people would get papers and you kind of questioned whether they were
real or not.
Mark Johnson is the winemaker at Chateau Chantal in Traverse City.
It was like a student ID. They fake their driver's license so that they can go to the bar. It was the same type of thing, and some were better and some were worse. And, you know, you usually had an idea, but you weren't required by law, really, to be an expert in this sort of thing.
But that's changing. Over the last 10 years, there's been a spike in audits by the U.S. Department of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. According to the White House, since 2009, ICE has audited nearly 9,000 employers suspected of hiring illegal labor. That's more than the total amount of audits during the entire 8 years of the Bush administration. Johnson says that's troublesome when employers are hiring migrant labor.
Today, we really have the feeling that we better have somebody on staff who really knows what a Texas driver's license looks like exactly, or what a Florida driver's license looks like, or even an ID card from Mexico. We need to know that stuff, and it's become a lot tougher.
Johnson says there's added pressure because fines have increased as well. The U.S. Department of Justice imposed an increase in fines as much as 50% back in 2008. And the higher scrutiny and penalties have forced some employers to make changes. Over at Chateau Chantal, they've made a move to hire fewer people to work in their vineyards.
And then this is the machine that is the leaf puller.
Instead of hand labor, Chateau Chantal invested around $134,000 in machinery to do the work that people used to do. We're in the storage shed that's home to four big pieces of equipment. One machine pulls leaves off the vines, another positions the vines, and another one harvests the grapes.
So this is the grape harvester. This saves 40 hours an acre.
Johnson says the grape harvester came with a $70,000 price tag. It was a big upfront investment, but it can do the work 40 times faster than humans at equal or better quality, and it eliminates any chances of getting fined by the government for hiring undocumented labor.